For 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
O'clock. This is our On the House hour, where we spend the entire hour talking about something specific on the house. May has been remodeling month at Rosie on the House, and we're going to wrap it up with a topic that was inspired by the fire that burnt down the roof at the Notre Dame Cathedral. This is a structure that was built over 647 years ago. But it had construction had started 182 years before that. It took them 182 years to build the cathedral. How many generations of workers is that? Seven, eight? And there are people that there was more people that worked on the cathedral that never saw it finished than there were workers that did get to see it finished. And in today's building, a 1960s wood frame home, takes less than a year. It's about 59 years, and if you're doing anything to it right now, you're mowing it down and starting over. And it inspired this concept of building homes that don't last a lifetime, but last for generations. And I want to say before we get started that we're not here to badmouth any builder. There is a definite need for affordable housing, because when you get through listening to this broadcast, the structures that we have in mind and the practices and materials and time that goes into this, you would need a 60-year loan probably. To match what your monthly payments for a 30-year loan. So affordable.
But with a good interest rate, you'll be good.
If you wanted my dream house, and we're going to get to that, the requirements for it, you just open the window and take affordable and throw it right out, which is why I don't live in it. I haven't even started it. It's all up here in my mind.
Yeah.
So this is more just big picture thinking about how we live in our homes, because, and the point we'll make at the end, when it comes to sustainability, when it comes to building for generations, when it comes to long term, the remodeling industry is going to have more of an impact on it than the new build because of how many existing structures there are. It's going to take new builds, I hope, hundreds of years to catch up to how many existing structures are out there right now. So when we come into a remodeling phase and we like the neighborhood we live in, we like the house we live in, but it's past the point where it's not worth investing money in maintaining and it makes more sense to rebuild it, rebuilding it with the concept not that I'm going to get another 60 years out of this, that no, my grandkids are going to be able to live here and know that their grandkids are going to still have a structure that will support them.
There was the wildfire in Malibu that burned a neighborhood, but one house was able to sustain hardly any damage, and there was a gentleman that explained that. Also, I have my sister and brother-in-law, who went through Hurricane Michael, built a beach house in Port St. Joe to withstand a Category 4 hurricane. They had very minimal damage, because that was a direct hit. That was a Category 5 hurricane. But the other homes that were built in the 80s, not there anymore.
No, and I don't know if you've been to Holly Beach before.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't Katrina that got Holly Beach. It was
Rita. My sister's name, Rita.
If you were there before and afterwards, Holly Beach doesn't even look like the same community because of all the regulations that then came afterwards. And to get a loan to build a home next to us, you had to do it 14 feet in the air on concrete piers. And the soil in Louisiana, that concrete pier is a lot taller than 14 feet because of how far down you got
to
go.
You're going to have to go deep in order to hit bedrock.
So that's what we're talking about, sustainability. And that's the word I want to focus on, because to me, so many people get stuck on green building, green building, green building, green building. And I've seen people do so many silly things to be green that masonry would have solved. You spent all this time trying to do this, and you could have just used masonry in this application and accomplished the same thing. So my keyword that I focus on is sustainable, because if you build it sustainable, you are the green part is going to be there. Just because you're doing something to be green doesn't mean you're doing something that is in the long term sustainable. And we've brought somebody in that knows the technical terms and all the factors that go into what makes something green. And it's not just we've got the manufacturing process. We've got how well that material regenerates itself. Or is this a material that once we've used it all, it's done? Is it renewable resource? Is it a regenerative resource? How far does it have to get shipped? How long is the lifespan of this product? Alex Pajak, did I say it right?
That was very, very close, yes.
Say it for me.
It's Pajak, but I like to say Pajak because it sounds close to a paycheck and everyone likes
paycheck.
That.
Pajak.
Yep.
Alex Pajak.
There you go.
From here forth. It's Alex Pajak, and you are with Rosie Remodeling, and you are a sales design consultant?
Yes, that's true. I'm, first of all, very happy to be here and to be a part of the team of Rosie and Alex Remodeling, and I'm a sales design consultant and a project manager for the larger jobs that we have going on.
And you bring to the team?
So I bring to the team, basically my background is in engineering, construction engineering, and in green building. And I'm a lead green associate that is basically a certification that will or that does allow me to work on green building projects and have a great interest in renewable technologies in construction, new construction methods, and green building in general.
And when we're talking green building and sustainable building, you had mentioned three things that require. Well, first of all, is there a difference between green building and sustainable building, or should it all just be merged into one?
Well, green building practices follow sustainable development practices. So sustainable development practices are often a time classified, so to say, by their three pillars of sustainability, which is social, environment, and economic.
Social,
right.
Environment, and economic are the three factors in sustainable building practices.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
And green building adheres to those three. So that means that we're trying to follow, so to say, everything that can be done to be better for the environment, more sustainable, use more renewable energy sources, more renewable materials, as well as push for economic equilibrium, so to say, so that we can have a good, profitable business, and that everyone, and that's the third, that would be the social one, that everyone can benefit from that in terms of a society, of the city, the region, the neighbors, and down to the person, you know, to the human being in terms of health, in terms of well-being.
And when we're looking at these things, so give me one example. Let's look at this stack of lumber that we're going to use to build this house. How do I determine the three things as it relates to that pile of wood and my home?
Well, when you break it down to the material and when you review it as the material, then one could question, where does it come from? Has it been sustainably farmed and sourced? Or is it being shipped from overseas just because it's some specific lumber that someone needs and it's 3 cents cheaper per piece, right? So what does go in there in terms of energy consumption to create that stack of lumber? And what does, basically, how does it benefit the economic part? So is it inherently cheaper because it's from somewhere else? Or does it benefit the local economy if I source it, let's say, in Arizona or the neighboring states? So that would be basically, I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert, we don't have lumber farming in Arizona.
We do not.
So it's all coming in from out of state.
Yeah, that is correct.
Now, there is an exception to that, like the Wall of Fire. I've seen a lot of logging operations out of there. And in the pine trees, they do forest thinning. But those aren't tree farms that are grown to be 2x4, 2x6 truss glulam beam material for homes.
That is correct. They are not. Usually, we use very, quickly renewable resources to be our building lumber. And those are farmed mostly sustainably all across the states. And they are being basically everything that is being reaped is also being re-sown, so to say. And it's a sustainable cycle where wood is just one of the main building materials that we use.
And what we're looking for in sustainability is on a timeline. All things come from the earth, ore, plants, animals. How fast are these resources available to us again if we consume it now?
It depends on what resource you use, right? It depends on if you're using wood, well, then some woods can be, or some forests, so to say, can be repopulated within a matter of 15, 20, 30 years, whereas others will just take longer if it's a hardwood. All over the world, when we look at, what they call the bamboo belt, which is a certain part of the earth where bamboo grows really fast, well, this is where bamboo is the fastest available material. That's for the grown materials, for the natural materials. And then we have, on the other hand, the non-natural or the man-made materials. They are made up of different components, for example, like concrete or brick. There, basically, it is about the availability of the individual parts that go into material like this. So be it the concrete, be it the sand, or cement availability, Portland cement mostly, and then the sand, and then, the water. So all of these resources, when you break them down into naturally occurring resources, is how fast do these regenerate? And that's all over the place, really.
And doing the research for that, what's a good resource to use? Because you would spend so much time researching this individually, you would never get it all the way done to build a house.
That is correct. Well, there is multiple resources one can look up, and most of that is really can be easily found online. And there's the U.S. Green Building Council, USGBC, is one of those resources that bundles different findings and knowledge about building materials. And there's different other companies and nonprofits that they call that into account.
Don't get your windows replaced until you get an education and a quote from the experts at Pella Windows. So we've got Adam Homer in. Your fiberglass product, in my opinion, it's the right window for Arizona. Explain that a little bit.
Pella's got a patented process. They pultrude fiberglass through this die. It's a matted material. So unlike the back of a shower enclosure, how it's random strands and
it's
all pokey.
Right.
That's not what our windows look like. It looks like almost like a window screen mesh when it comes through and ready to put into the frame. And once it's all heat sealed and made rigid, it goes through a powder coating process. So you can get a really nice looking window that's very strong, very durable.
What matters is how you treat your doors and windows. They are the weakest link. Take the time to think through the right door and window.
Pella's two locations in Scottsdale and Tucson. Find them at rosieonthehouse.com under Certified Partners.